This is the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. Well, hello and welcome to another edition of the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. It is Wednesday. That means it's the 10th day of April, 2024. I do want to apologize. I haven't been on the microphone nearly as often as I used to be, but we've been taking a lot of time away on family vacations and catching up with some illness after the trip to Asia, which had nothing to do, by the way, with the trip to Asia. I did spend this weekend, a wonderful weekend, with my two living children, and we went to see the actual solar eclipse in Bill Clinton's hometown of Hope, Arkansas. It was a wonderful experience. You can look at all the videos and photographs that anyone has taken. You can look at the official NASA photographs online, and nothing at all compares to seeing the totality live in person. The colors, the spectrum, the light, the darkness, the experience of listening to the entire world go quiet for 3 minutes. The birds stopped chirping. The dogs stopped barking. And then we heard a rooster crow just as the first peak of light as the moon started to move out of the path of totality. It was a once-in-a-lifetime experience for me because, you know, being 60, I probably won't be coherent by the time the next one comes, 21 years from now. Anyway, it was a great experience. Had a great time at the Lake Bistineau State Park just outside of Shreveport, Louisiana, and then short two-hour drive north to Hope, Arkansas to experience the solar eclipse of 2024. Wonderful experience. The White House is out today touting 303,000 jobs supposedly created thanks to Joe Biden's economy. But what they did not announce was that 90,309 layoffs occurred in the month of March. So that is a 7% increase in layoffs from February this year. So if you add the 303,000 and subtract the 90,300, Biden's job growth for March was actually only around 200,000 jobs, which is nothing remarkable. And I have some news for you, my friends. Inflation is on the rise once again. Trillions of dollars in taxpayer subsidies from the Biden administration and all of those so-called infrastructure and jobs acts and all of those so-called inflation reduction acts, which were all just climate initiatives. After trillions of dollars of your tax money in subsidies to the wind and solar power industries in the United States, solar power and wind power is no cheaper. Your electric bills are no lower, and in fact, we're paying more now per kilowatt hour than just about any time in history, thanks to Bidenomics and Joe Biden. Despite being constantly told that solar and wind are now the cheapest forms of electricity, governments around the world needed to spend about $2 trillion in subsidies over the last year. Biden conveniently tries to justify spending hundreds of billions of dollars on green subsidies when he lies and says wind and solar are significantly cheaper than coal and oil, which is a lie. Arguing that wind and solar are the cheapest is a meme employed by green lobbyists, activists, and politicians in the Biden administration. Unfortunately, as huge as the subsidies are, the claim is wildly deceptive. Wind and solar energy only produce power when the sun is shining and the wind is blowing. The rest of the time, that electricity is infinitely expensive, and of course a backup system is needed, usually in the form of coal or oil or natural gas or even nuclear. This is why global electricity remains almost two-thirds reliant upon fossil fuels, and why we, on our current trends, are an entire century away from eliminating fossil fuels for the generation of electricity here in the USA. Many times it's reported that large emerging industrial powers like India, China, Indonesia, Bangladesh, and others are getting more power from solar and wind. Yeah, they put up a couple more windmills and a couple more solar panels. So technically, they're getting a little teeny tiny bit more from solar and wind. But those countries get much more additional power from the thousands of coal-fired and oil-fired power-generating plants that they construct every year. In fact, last year, China got more additional power from coal by tenfold than it did from solar or wind. India got three times as much from coal as they did from wind and solar. And Bangladesh got 13 times more electricity from coal than they did from all green energy sources combined. So let's talk about Indonesia. 90 times more electricity was produced by coal last year in Indonesia than by wind and solar combined. So if solar and wind are really cheaper, why would those countries, which are supposedly poor, why would they miss out on such great opportunities? Because the whole solar wind idea in its current form is a lie. And because, of course, reliability matters. Even in countries that get a lot of wind and a lot of sunlight, they still have to rely on fossil fuels to generate electricity. The typical way to measure the cost of solar simply ignores its true unreliability. And the same is true for wind energy. But Joe Biden and the liars at his Energy Information Administration claim that solar is only 3.6 cents per kilowatt hour. Natural gas is 3.8. But if you reasonably include the cost of reliability, you know, the entire half a day that we guarantee there's no sunlight, and the clouds and the rainstorms, it's way, way higher. The real costs explode. One peer-reviewed study shows an increase of between 11 and 42 times more expensive to operate wind and solar to generate electricity than to use coal. Solar is by far the most expensive source of electricity in the U.S., and it is followed by wind energy. The enormous additional cost comes from the need for what? Storage. Electricity is required even when the sun is not shining and the wind is not blowing, but our nation's battery capacity, our storage capacity, is woefully inadequate. And research shows that every winter, solar contributes very little. In fact, in Germany, they have a wind drought of 5 days when the wind turbines deliver nothing. This suggests that batteries will be needed for a minimum of 120 hours, although the actual need will be much longer since wind droughts last much longer and they recur before storage can be filled. A new study looking at the U.S. shows that in order to achieve 100% solar or wind electricity with sufficient battery backup, the U.S. would need to be able to store almost 3 months' worth of annual electricity. Currently, we have 7 minutes nationwide of battery storage. Just to pay for the batteries would cost the United States more than 5 times our current GDP, gross domestic product. And it would have to repurchase the batteries when they expire 10 to 15 years down the road. On a worldwide scale, the cost to just have sufficient batteries would run 10 times the global domestic product with a new bill every 10 to 15 years to replenish the depleted batteries. Now, the second reason Biden's climate lie is just that, is it leaves out the cost of recycling spent wind turbine blades and exhausted solar panels and those batteries. Already today, one small town in Texas is overflowing with thousands of enormous wind turbine blades that simply cannot be reused or recycled. In poor countries across Africa, solar panels and their batteries are already being dumped, leaching toxic chemicals into the soil and into the water supplies. Because lifetimes lasting just a few decades for batteries and solar panels, the pressure from the climate lobby for an enormous ramp up in use proves this will only get worse. One study shows that the trash cost alone more than doubles the true cost of solar. You have to take into consideration the disposal of these things when their life cycles have expired. If wind and solar power were really cheaper, they would replace fossil fuel without the need for a grand push from lobbies, politicians, and of course, those heavily subsidized industries that are taking tax money in the form of subsidies. If you want to fix the so-called lie of man-caused climate change, you need to invest in low-cost, CO2-free research and development, you know, like hydrogen or nuclear. Only a significant boost in research and development can bring about the technological breakthroughs that are needed, the reductions in garbage, the improving of battery storage and efficiency. But we also need nuclear, and we also need hydrogen power, and throw the notion of the lie of solar and wind into the ash heap of history where it belongs. This is the Truth Hurts program. Earlier, I mentioned the lie of the Biden administration claiming that they created 330,000 jobs last month because they forgot to take into consideration the 90,309 layoffs that were posted, and those are just the ones that were posted by major corporations. The net offset is we actually created about 176,000 jobs last month. But Biden will continue lying, just like they lie about the layoffs. As the American workforce grapples with the uncertainties of a modern economy, the recent surge in massive layoffs is casting a shadow over the nation's employment landscape. With tens of thousands of workers facing redundancy across various states, a closer look at the unfolding situation reveals a complex tapestry of economic challenges and shifts within major industries. California leads right now the nation in layoffs, and guess why? The $20 an hour minimum wage for fast food workers has forced many of the fast food restaurants to simply shed employees. Often lauded for their innovation-driven economy, California has emerged as the epicenter of this year's job cuts. A staggering 19,000 plus have been thrust into unemployment across 298 WARN notices, and this figure not only dwarfs other states, but signals a deeper economic recalibration within the state of California. The tech industry is now turning to AI instead of actual humans, and so actual humans are losing their jobs. Former White House Chief of Staff Ron Klain is blasting Joe Biden, his former boss, for not focusing on key issues like inflation and grocery prices. A leaked section of audio came out with Ron Klain getting mad about Biden's focus on so-called infrastructure, saying he's talking too much about bridges and not enough about eggs and milk. In Politico, Ron Klain says, "I think the president is out there too much talking about bridges. He does two or three events a week where he's cutting a ribbon on a bridge. And here's a bridge. Like I tell you, if you go into a grocery store, you go to the grocery store and you know eggs and milk are more expensive. There's a fact that there's an effing bridge is not relevant." Joe Biden is not running for Congress. He's not a congressman, Ron Klain continues. "I think it's kind of a fool's errand. I think that it also doesn't get covered that much because, look, it's an effing bridge. Like, it's a bridge. How interesting is a bridge? It's a little interesting, but not a lot interesting." The audio was recorded at a private event hosted by the publication Democracy, a journal of ideas at which Ron Klain was a speaker. He's laughing at Joe Biden right now. Summer is coming, along with an anticipated 23 named Atlantic hurricane storms, named storms in the upcoming season, and between 11 and 13 actual major hurricanes being forecasted. It's going to be a busy year, but it only takes one storm, we all know that. Meanwhile, the unprecedented expectation of migrant deaths is taking shape in the nation's capital right now, where News Nation's Ali Bradley writes, "Unprecedented migrant deaths expected as temperatures rise at the southern border." The answer, of course, is quite simple. Don't come here. We don't want you. We don't need you. You are illegally crossing into our country. That makes you an illegal immigrant, a trespasser, an invader. News Nation writes, migrant deaths are on the rise at the southern border as people attempting to enter the U.S. illegally increasingly travel through remote areas already facing high temperatures. Tucson Border Patrol Agent Chief John Modlin says officials are already seeing the highest number of encounters along the border, and they expect it to get far, far worse. Modlin said, quote, "Nothing changes with the level of migration, and we get 118 to 120 degree days down there. We're likely going to see unprecedented amounts of death in the desert." Well, play stupid games, win stupid prizes is what I have to say. In 2022, thanks to Joe Biden's opening of the southern border, Customs and Border Protection documented over 171 illegal immigrants dying across different types of incidents. Distress incidents from heat occurred 55 times. At least 30 of them occurred right at the port of entry. Border agents and law enforcement officials say they are overrun with 911 calls for migrants getting hurt on their trek into the U.S. And of course, they'll try and sue the U.S. government. I think they ought to sue Mr. Biden personally. Something else that's Biden's fault, U.S. inflation is up again in March in the latest sign that Bidenomics is not working and price pressures remain elevated because of Bidenflation. Consumer prices increase at the highest level last month of this year, boosted by gas, rents, and car insurance. The government said this on Wednesday in a report that will give pause to the Federal Reserve as they weigh when and how much to cut interest rates later in the year, if at all. Prices outside the volatile food and energy categories rose 0.4% from February to March, the same accelerated pace as in the previous month. Measured from a year earlier, core prices were up just shy of 4%, unchanged year over year since their February rise. But gropey Joe Biden stands at the podium, tells everybody inflation is coming down and it's getting better. Figures don't lie. Liars don't figure. The Federal Reserve tracks core prices because they provide a good read of where Joe Biden's inflation is headed, and that, of course, is headed higher. The figures will likely disappoint the White House, Republican critics of Joe Biden pinning the blame on high prices directly on Joe Biden and Bidenomics, and they're using that, of course, to try and derail his reelection bid. Why would anyone want to reelect a guy who has caused almost 20% overall inflation since he took office? The March figures, the third straight month of inflation readings well above the Fed's target, are torpedoing the prospect of multiple interest rate cuts this year. Fed Chair Jerome Powell stressed that the Fed's policymakers need more confidence that inflation is slowing to their 2% target. But at 4%, well, you know. But Biden doesn't know, because he is blind to reality. The inflation surge that has followed in Joe Biden's wake since taking office has jacked up the cost of food, furniture, gas, rent, cars, and of course the interest rates that have gone up have made Bidenomics an abject failure. Though inflation rates have plummeted from their peak of 9.1% in June of 2022, average prices are still well above what they were when Donald Trump was your president. Wall Street traders had projected the Fed would cut its key rate up to 6 or 7 times this year. It might be cut 3, based on Joe Biden's Bidenomics inflation numbers not getting any better, and in fact, getting far, far worse. Remember the dollar menu at your local Mickey D's? You could get a quarter pounder for $1.99. You could get a double hamburger. What do they call it? The McDouble? I used to get one for 99 cents. With a 99-cent medium order of fries and a 99-cent large sweet iced tea. I used to be able to eat lunch at McDonald's for $3 plus tax. According to Fox Business's Andrea Vecchiano, McDonald's $25 deal is going viral, and users are blaming California's minimum wage hike, calling this the new normal. A viral social media post about a $25 McDonald's deal is sparking online debate about California's minimum wage increase. A TikTok user who posts videos under the username @ShannonMontepeya shared a video on March 27th in the drive-thru window of a Southern California McDonald's location where she saw a sign for a 40-piece chicken McNugget meal with two orders of fries. The price of the meal bundle, $25.39. Including sales tax, it comes to over $27. And the social media user lamented that the meal doesn't even include a drink. She says, so it's $25.39 plus tax for 40 chicken nuggets and two large fries. Couldn't you even throw in a Sprite? I remember when the 20-piece chicken McNuggets meal was $4.99. And that was while who was president? Not Joe Biden, Donald Trump. While the meal is designed supposedly to serve four people, it demonstrates how prices at the fast food giant have risen, especially since the $20 an hour minimum wage has kicked in. By the way, 10 years ago, in California, the 10-piece McNugget meal was $5.99 and came with a small fry and a small drink, and now it is over $11. The video ended up amassing over 2 million views, bringing thousands of TikTok users to the comments section, saying one commenter, remember when 40-piece nuggets was $5 and a large drink was $1? The manager's special used to be 40 nuggets, a gallon of tea, and a large fry for $19. Shaking my head, said another. A third commenter wrote, I spent $48 on one meal for my family at McDonald's yesterday. I guess fast food is out here. How's that working out for you, Gavin Newsom, as your unemployment rate goes up because companies like McDonald's are laying off employees en masse? Another effect of the California minimum wage hike for fast food restaurants, California's new $20 minimum wage is leaving schools facing cafeteria staffing shortages. Groundbreaking move, they called it, to raise fast food workers to $20 an hour. While fast food giants like Wendy's and McDonald's, Taco Bell and Pizza Hut are now direct competitors to the people who keep school cafeterias running, people are leaving the school cafeterias for a pay raise to go and work at a fast food restaurant. Shameful. Very shameful. And here's why. In Fresno, California, a school district cafeteria worker earns only about $15 an hour, and that figure significantly lags behind Gavin Newsom's new minimum wage. I told you, if the minimum wage for Whopper Floppers goes to $20 an hour, every other business that has a $10 or $15 minimum wage is going to demand more money or they're going to lose employees. This is the stupidity of raising the minimum wage. And one senator in California thinks the minimum wage should be $50 per hour. All right, let's talk about Joe Biden's 33,000 secret migrant flights to New York. Remember when he did that? He sent 33,000 illegal immigrants right on into Democrat New York. And now the federal government is passing on the cost of those flights to local New York City taxpayers. Eric Adams keeps blaming Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas, for being the culprit responsible for the city's migrant crisis, which has now hoovered up nearly $25 million per month. In the latest broadside, Adams dared Abbott to spend the night in a New York City migrant shelter. While the no-thanks Abbott fired back that Adams' sanctuary city's policies were aiding and abetting the border disaster. But here's one that you probably didn't know. Some 37,000 of New York's estimated 150,000 illegals, about 25%, were bused from Texas. But there's another number comparable to that, and you don't hear Eric Adams blaming the guy responsible, Joe Biden. In a new report, the Center for Immigration Studies finds that the Department of Homeland Security secretly okayed the flights of over 33,000 illegal immigrants directly into New York from foreign country airports. About 22 to 23% of the illegals in New York City were flown in by Joe Biden. One of Biden's flying immigrants was a Haitian man named Pierre Lussard Emile, who was recently accused of raping a developmentally challenged teenage girl. You heard me correctly. Developmentally disabled teen girl. The Biden administration reportedly authorized him to fly directly from Haiti into John F. Kennedy International Airport as part of the immigrant flights program that you and I aren't supposed to know about. Biden, of course, is far more responsible than Abbott for New York's troubles because he's doing absolutely nothing to enforce border laws in the first place, allowing Texas and other southern states to be flooded with unsustainable numbers of criminal, trespassing, illegal migrants. But Adams, the mayor of New York, is giving Biden a total pass on these migrant flights, which Joe Biden could shut down with a phone call. Nope. Adams prefers to continue pretending that Republican Greg Abbott is the cause of New York City's problems. The DHS reports it has approved flights of more than 386,000 illegal immigrants directly from foreign airports into the U.S. since launching this program without congressional authorization in January of 2023. The flights were intended mainly for Cubans, Haitians, Venezuelans, and Nicaraguans, but they've expanded now to five other nationalities. It is now alternatively referred to as the CHNV program or the Advanced Travel Authorization Program, where you or I need a real ID to get on an airplane in the United States of America. These people don't have any identification whatsoever. We don't know whether they're criminals. We don't know whether they're militants. We don't know whether they're terrorists. Biden just loads them on planes and drops them off at airports around the United States of America. A separate twin program has also brought in another 420,000 illegal immigrants from 100 countries at 8 land ports over the last year. These programs are predicated on a legally challenged mass use of an authority in the Immigration and Nationalities Act that allows a president to grant, quote, temporary humanitarian parole, unquote, into a country in emergency situations. It's supposed to be on a case-by-case basis, but this administration has applied this highly restricted case-by-case parole authority to far greater numbers, in fact, over 800,000, all crossing within 1 year's time. They have not coordinated the effort with Mayor Adams or any other big city mayor or with taxpayers who have to shoulder the cost of hundreds of thousands of people simply just showing up. Biden has hid where the illegal immigrants are being flown to and the numbers into each city. They were so determined to keep the information from the public that they denied a 2023 Center for Immigration Studies Freedom of Information Act request. In fact, the administration is so hell-bent on obfuscating the basic program details that its monthly border statistics report presents this section as a strange, unidentified orphan, only titling it as the CHNV program. Using available public records for the April 1st report, we were able to narrow down the regions receiving the flights, showing that Florida is by far the biggest initial landing zone in the nation, receiving over 326,000 illegal immigrants through February, showing up to the state's international airports, and those 33,000 outgoing flights into New York. It's secret because they're not telling anybody. They don't tell us anytime somebody comes in, Ron DeSantis said. They don't give us any information on it. They're not coordinating it with state governments at all. If they throw six people on a commercial flight coming in from a foreign country, there is no acknowledgement at all to state or local authorities. This is a fact. And, my friends, those are just the ones we found out about. Think of the hundreds of thousands more that we have not been able to track down as of yet. All right, gang, so much more to talk about on the next edition of the Truth Hurts program, but for now, we're out of time, so we'll see you next time. Bye-bye for now. Thank you for listening to the Truth Hurts program. Opinions expressed are protected free speech under the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. We apologize if you are offended, but we retract nothing. Background music by Jason Shaw and Audionautix. Copyright 2024, the Truth Hurts Program Network, all rights reserved.